Hello everyone, how are all of you doing? You know, we are living in these trying times. I was in a few speaking engagements, okay? I say that statement. You know, the thing is that even though we say that it's trying times, many people stop trying. So I want to encourage every one of you to be resilient, okay, even in times like this. Now, today, I'm going to start a new series. Thank God for the series that we have called Philippi Joy as we look into the book of Philippians. But today, I'm going to start a new series and it's entitled More Than a Song. Okay, this is a worship series and we will be looking at four psalms, all right? And in other words, all right, looking at the psalmist, King David. Okay, my prayer for each and every one of you in this season is that learn to worship, okay, Jesus. Now, we're going to enter into what we call the NECF 40 days of fasting and praying. And spend this time, okay, just go deeper in praying and worshiping our Lord. So, in this series, More Than a Song, and as we look at Psalms, there are 150 Psalms, okay, which are written, okay, by King David, the most, 73 of them, and the rest are by Solomon, Moses, Asaph, son of Korah, and so on. Now, I want to encourage you that you take month of August to read, okay, the book of Psalms. Now, if I will encourage you to take, to read three Psalms, all right, 3 times 30 days, that will be 150 Psalms, and then you are done with book of Psalms. All right, now, do you know that every Psalms, there's a story behind? And with this, that we in this series, we're going to do four parts. Part one, we're going to talk about in times of battle. So the whole idea is that, can you still worship God, okay, in different times of your life? So part one, in times of battle, we're going to look at Psalms 144. Part two, we're going to talk about in times of weakness. Okay, Psalm 63, Mio will take that. Part 3, we're going to talk about in times of injustice. I will come back and do Psalm 7. Part 4 will be in times of failure, Psalm 51. Terrence will be doing that. So the whole thing that I'm talking about, can you still worship God in those times? Now, how many of you love to worship God? I believe you are, all right? But what's worship, or what is worship is not? Okay, let me just give you three things that worship is not. Let me say that worship is not just about a song. Okay, that's why our series is called More Than a Song. Yes, okay, I love all the songs that our worship teams lead us in worship. Okay, some of you may love hymns. Some of you still wanting to sing some of the old songs, okay, that you used to sing in those days. You know, I love some of the old songs that, you know, you have revival those days. You know, some of the worship songs is like, I worship you, Almighty God. Some of you like the songs, God will make a way when there seems to be no way. Or songs like, there is none like you. No one else could love like, touch my heart like you do. And so on, all right? Now, let me say that every song has a certain heartbeat. And that heartbeat brings you, okay, your emotion, okay, your mind, mentally, emotionally, okay, back to certain memories, okay, that you have, yeah, in those days. All right, now worship again is not just about a song. Okay, worship is not just about the place. I'm sure that you have met people who ask you, "Hey, where do you worship, huh?" All right, so I worship in Every Nation Church, Penang. Yes, it's a place that we gather, okay, to worship God. But we all know, it's not just about the place. What if one day, okay, we are no longer in this location, all right? So worship is not just, okay, about, okay, the place or the location, all right? Now, most importantly, worship is not about you, all right? It's not about you, it's not about me, it's all about Jesus. It's all about all of us giving our heart, okay, to worship. Jesus deserves all the glory and honor, okay, and praise, okay? It's not just about singing a good song. You know, I love all my worship leaders, okay, and the worship band that lead us in worship, okay? It's just wonderful. But let me say, worship is an outward expression of the inward, okay, encounter or revelation that you have, okay, with our Lord Jesus Christ, all right? So I prayerfully, okay, as you express, okay, your worship, okay, to the Lord, it become a lifestyle. Okay, it's not about you worship today, tomorrow you don't worship, and then next day you worship. No, okay, every moment that you have, whether in the morning, afternoon, evening, whichever, okay, time, okay, occasion, okay, moment that you have, you choose, okay, to worship God because it is a lifestyle. So each time when you worship God, when you think about Him, He can draw you, okay, to loving God all the time, all right now. So that's where God created us. That's why, okay, God created us. We are created to worship Him, all right? Now just think about it now, that if you do not know Jesus, friends, we are created with that sense to worship something. And you will find yourself, okay, looking and seeking for any other thing, okay, material things. You will probably worship cars, okay, worship material things, looking at houses, job, money, and even your own children all become the thing, okay, that you worship, right? Think about that, okay? Think about how you live every day, okay? And whether your life, okay, you live a life of honoring God and live a life, okay, that you know that worship is a lifestyle, okay, in all circumstances. You know, when you, each time when you come for church for worship, okay, it's a worship service. It's not that 15, 20 minutes of worship time. No, it's the entire service. That's why we call it a worship service, all right? So in this series, we want to talk about, okay, in all these circumstances that we are going through, can you still worship the Lord? All right, so part one, in times of trouble, Psalms 144, okay, and when we talk about in times of battle, okay, in times of battle, what battle are you facing, okay, today? All right, what kind of battles are you going through? Maybe you say, Pastor, I'm not going through any battle. Then I was thinking, No, Pastor, I haven't finished yet. I'm going through a lot of battles in my life. Friends, if you are going through battles in your life, okay, are you still able to worship Him? I know some of us probably battling with finances, battling with jobs, relationship, health, family, even husband and wife, children, and all those. With all that is going on in your life, friends, can you still worship the Lord Almighty? Let's go to Psalms 144. I'm going to read verse 1 to 11. And we're going to look at the story behind these Psalms, okay, that's written by King David. All right, verse 1. Psalms 144. Blessed be the Lord, my rock, who trains my hands for war and my fingers for battle. Now, He is my steadfast love and my fortress and my stronghold and my deliverer, my shield, and He in whom I take refuge, who subdues, okay, peoples under me. Verse 3, O Lord, what is man that You regard him, or the son of man that You think of him? Man is like a breath, his days are like a passing shadow. Verse 5, bow Your heavens, O Lord, and come down. Touch the mountains so that they smoke. Flash forth the lightning and scatter them. Send out Your arrows and rout them. Verse 7, stretch out Your hand from high on high. Rescue me, deliver me from the many waters, from the hand of foreigners whose mouth speaks lies and whose right hand is a right hand of falsehood. Then verse 9, okay, Psalmist David said this, I will sing a new song to You, O God, upon a 10-string harp I will play to You, who gives victory to kings, who rescues David his servant from the cruel sword. Rescue me and deliver me from the hand of the foreigners whose mouth, okay, speaks lies and whose right hand is a right hand of falsehood. Let me pray. Father God, I commit all of us into Your hands, even as we look into a new series called More Than a Song. And I pray they will birth out songs within us, okay, worshiping You, giving You the glory and honor. In Jesus' name, I pray. And everyone say, Amen. All right, so what's the story behind Psalms 144? You know, when David talked about a battle, what battle is David talking about? Okay, how did David still able to say, I will sing, okay, unto the Lord, sing a new song, okay, even in times of battle? Now, as we talk about battle today, please also take note that if you read the Old Testament, it's all about a physical battle. When we read the New Testament, okay, it's about the spiritual battle. Now, what battle is King David referring to? What is the famous battle that probably all of us will know? Okay, it is none other than the story or the battle of David and Goliath. Where is this story found? It is found in 1 Samuel chapter 17. Okay, if you have a Bible with you, turn to 1 Samuel chapter 17. Of course, we will flash the verses to all of us to watch as well. All right, now 1 Samuel chapter 17. I'll read a couple of verses here and there. All right, now verse 1 says, "The Philistines gathered for battle in Sukkoth, a town in Judah. They came at a place called Ephes Damin, between Sukkoth and Azekah. Saul and the Israelites assembled and came in the valley called Elah." So remember this term, Valley of Elah. If people ask you, what is Valley of Elah? That was the place, where the battle between David, and Goliath. All right, now. So in verse 3, the Philistines line up on one hill and the Israelites on the other. So in between them is the Valley of Elah. All right, now. Here comes this man, by the name of Goliath from the city of Gath, came out from the Philistine camp to challenge the Israelites. He was over 9 feet tall, and from verse 5 to verse 6, talk about all the armory that he's carrying, all right? But the most intimidating is that he is over 9 feet tall. How many of you like to meet someone or talk to someone that is 9 feet tall? I'm about 5 feet seven, and when you talk to someone that is about over 9 feet tall, 10 feet tall, you'll be like, oh, okay, all right. Now, so then in verse 8, Goliath stood and shouted at the Israelites, "What are you doing here? Line up for battle? I am Philistine, you slave of Saul. Choose one of your men to fight me. And if he wins and kills me, we will be your slave. But if I win and kill him, you will be our slave. Here and now I challenge the Israelites army. I dare you, pick someone to fight me." When Saul and his men heard this, they were terrified. Actually, all of them ran away. Now, this is when we look at this passage, when you look at Old Testament, when they fight, not many people die, or more like economical kind of setting, all right? You choose one, I choose one, let's fight, all right? So, who your best, your champion, and who wins, and that's it, all right? Now, so this is the scenario. But at the same time, it's not just about fighting like this. They are talking about their gods. Whose god is bigger? Whose rock is stronger, all right, in that sense? So how do you like, Goliath stand and talk to you so extremely tall and intimidating? How do you like it? In verse 16, Goliath challenged the Israelites every morning and evening for 40 days, my friend. 40 days, just intimidating. Say those words, that demean, you. So for 40 days, 40 nights, Goliath has been insulting, the army of Israelites. All right. So now let's continue. Let's look at verse 23, and then we're going to learn something, In times of battle, what do you do? Can you still worship God? Verse 23, as he was talking with them. This is about David already, all right? Now, verse 12 to 22 is about David being asked by his father, calling David, "David, go, go to the battlefield, go and find where are your brothers, all right, and bring some food for them and bring report to me, all right." So David has gone and going to see what's happening and then to bring news, for his father. So when he was there in verse 23 and he was talking to them, that means talking to the brothers, and the army, the other side, all right, and then Goliath, the Philistine champion from Gath, stepped out from his line and shouted his usual defiance. Remember, 40 days, 40 nights, morning, evening, he keep on insulting, the army of Israelites. Now, David heard it. Verse 24, whenever the Israelites saw the man, they all fled from him in great fear. Now the Israelites have been saying, "Do you see how this man keep coming out?" Talking about, Goliath. "He come out to defy Israel, the king." So now, king for the 40 days, 40 nights has given announcement, for reward. If you were to defeat this Goliath, what is your reward? Now, very interesting. The king says, "I will give great wealth to the man who kills Goliath. He will also give him his daughter in marriage and will exempt him, his family from taxes in Israel." wow, what kind of reward is this? Number one, if you will defeat Goliath, you will become very rich. How many of you want to be very rich? Okay, number one. Number two, you get to marry, okay, the daughter of the king. Wow, you become, okay, the next heir, right? Now, number three, you don't need to pay tax. Oh, how many of you don't want to pay tax? Okay, everybody, please pay your tax. All right, now. Anyway, okay, coming to this story, you are in front of you is the giant. If you are facing something in front of you, is the battle that you are going through every day and you are facing it. So if you are facing a giant, I don't know, is it a life and death situation? What will you do? Will you choose to run or will you choose, okay, to fight? So even in that moment of that battle, were you able to worship God? That's the big question. So as we explore this, continue to explore this story, allow me, okay, to give you three secrets of David. All right? And then we look at how can it apply. All right? Now, let's go to verse 31. Okay? I'll give you three reasons. Okay? Number one, number one is that from verse 31 to 7 is know who your God is. Look at verse 31. When the words that David spoke were heard, okay, because David was asking, okay, how, okay, who? And then they send this news, okay, to King Saul. Now, in verse 32, and David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of this Goliath. Your servant will go and fight this Philistine. And verse 33, Saul said to David, you are not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for you are but a youth. He has been a man of war from his youth. You know what Saul saying? Saul say, hey, you small boy, youth, you are nothing. That one, Goliath, is already fighting all his life. You are nothing. All right? Now, let's continue to read now, verse 34. And David said to Saul, say, hello. Okay, right. Now he said, your servant used to keep sheep for his father. And where they came, a lion. Okay, or a bear, and took a lamb from my flock. I went after him, I struck him, and delivered it out from his mouth. And he arose against me, I caught him by his beard, I struck him, and I killed him. Your servant has struck down both lions and bears. Friends, it's not just one lion, one bear. Bible recorded both lions and bears. And this uncircumcised Philistine shall be like one of them, for he has defied the armies of the living God. And David said, the Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said this, go, and the Lord be with you. Friends, David knew his God. So when he go for this battle, he knew that he was saying that defy the armies of the living God. This Goliath is defying the army of the living God. He knew, okay, who his God is. Okay, so it's, in other words, when you know all about God, it's not just about the head knowledge. Okay, it's not about what you know, okay, in that sense, right? But in this case, David has a personal relationship with his God. So in other words, if you are going through battles and if you want to worship God, okay, it's about your personal relationship with God. How has your relationship with God? Some of the things that you need to reflect, all right, about your personal relationship with God. Has your relationship with God classified as one like David, a one that's after God's heart? Friends, do you know what is in God's heart? How does God's heart, okay, sound like? If you do not know, let me tell you. It sounds like this. People, 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 people. It's about people, my friends. That is God's heartbeat. So for David, right, imagine every morning when he worshiped God. Imagine, all right, when he was worshiping God, he was taking care of his sheep and he worshiped God. When he took up his 10-string harp, okay, when he's playing, he was caring for the sheep and he's feeding the sheep. At the same time, when he's worshiping God, he's also defending. If there's any predator that comes, he will go out and kill and defend, all right, his sheep and saving his sheep. So David telling Saul, no, I'm not that I'm nothing. I have killed the bear. I've killed the lion. And so were these uncircumcised Philistines. All right? Friends, what can we learn here? Do you have a lion story? Do you have a bear story? In other words, do you have a testimony? Okay, in that sense that you know, all right, that you know your God. When you go through difficult times in finances, all right, do you have a financial story that God, okay, provided for you? When you go through certain illness and God heals you, that is your lion story. That is your bear story. Okay, or any battle that you face and God delivered you. I believe that you want victory in life. But in every victory, there is a battle. In every victory, now people use the word backstory. That's a backstory. Back, B-A-C-K. There's a story behind it, okay, of your victory. But sad to say that many people want the victory. They don't want the battle, all right? Now, so my friends, do you know your God? You know, Daniel said this. Daniel in chapter 11, verse 32, said this in the New King James Version. The people who know their God shall be strong and carry out great exploit. So in times of battle, how can you worship God? Know who God is. David knew who God is. Number two, know who you are fighting for. David knew who was he fighting for. Alright, let's go continue with the story. Verse 38 to 43 that says this. Then Saul clothed David with his armor, put helmet of bronze on his head, clothed him with a coat of mail, and then David strapped his sword over his armor and tried this, tried that, and all those. And then David said to Saul, I cannot go with this, for I have not tested them. So David put them off. Now, then verse 40. Then he took his staff in his hand and chose 5 smooth stones from the brook and put them in his shepherd's pouch. His sling was in his hand and he approached the Philistine. So now the battle begins. All right, 41. And the Philistine moved forward and came near to David with his shield bearer in front of him. And when the Philistine looked and saw David, he disdained him, for he was but a youth, ruddy, handsome, okay? You send one handsome, okay, for battle. In verse 43, and the Philistine said to David, am I a dog that you come to me with sticks? And the Philistine cursed David by his God. Friends, if you go through battle, number one, know who your God is, all right? Number two, know who are you fighting for. So in every battle, you need to know who are you fighting for. David knew he's fighting for his God, all right? His Lord, his Yahweh, all right? Now, it may sound as you read this, yes, in all battle, you can see that every day, you know, probably you're fighting for King Saul. You know, sometimes in working place, yes, you have a boss, you're fighting for your boss. Okay, fine. But at the same time, you're also fighting for, David is fighting for his army in Israel. Yes. Sometimes when you look at it, oh, it's because of the company where you are right now, your company. And probably you're also fighting for yourself. Why? Because when you do well, okay, there's promotion and there's increase in your income and so on. Okay, we all understand that. But do you know who you are fighting for? Friends, think this. It's far bigger than what you think. It's not just about your self-achievement. Okay, the fact is that many times we think that when you're going through battle, you're fighting your own battle. But the truth is that you are not. When you look at the bigger picture of what you are going through. Now, someone said this. He said that your destiny, when you think about your destiny, sometimes your destiny is just too small until you come in touch with the church of God and you see a bigger picture, a bigger destiny, a destiny that God has laid for you, for your life. So when you read about what David says, all right, in 1 Samuel chapter 17, reading verse 44 and 45, he said this, the Philistine said to David, come to me and I will give your flesh to the birds of the air and to the beasts of the field. This is Goliath saying to David. See what David says. David, okay, said to the Goliath, you come to me with a sword and with a spear and a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of the hosts and the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. Wow, David knew. Who is he fighting for? He's fighting for an holy God, okay? God's holy name. So in other words, every battle you're going through, whatever you name it, ask yourself, what is it for? All right? Is it for God's honor or is it for God's glory? Every single day, every Monday, okay, that you begin your week, every Monday you start your work, okay, in your working place, who do you want to honor? Okay, who do you want to give glory to? That is who or what you are fighting for the day. Is it for yourself or is it for God? For yourself, company, or God? All right, so you answer that. Now, for all husband and wife, also the same. When you go through, okay, battles in life, especially as a husband and wife or family, sometimes some of those arguments you got to ask yourself, why are you arguing that about? Why, what are you fighting for? You know, ask why, what, and who. What's the reason behind that? Friends, let me tell you, those who are married or every other single, every other relationship that you are in, somehow all the chances you will realize that you, both of you are fighting for the same thing. All right, just that you don't see in different angle, you got to bring that together and both of you see the bigger picture of what you are fighting for. Just fight the right fight, okay? Now, number three, in all battles you are going through, one, know who your God is, two, who you're fighting for, number three, know who battle it is. All right, David knew the battle. Okay, who the battle was, all right? Now, looking at verse 46 and 47, David said this. This day, the Lord will deliver you, that's Goliath, into my hand, and I will shot you down and cut off your head, and I will give the dead bodies of the host of Philistines to this day to the birds of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel, and that all this assembly may know that the Lord saved not by the sword, okay, and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hand. Wow. David knew very well, okay, even without the army training or whatever that is the background, but he fights lion, he fights bears, okay, he knew, okay, the battle is the Lord. No, in other words, sometimes many of us go through life fighting battles or battles, not knowing, okay, who was the battle for, okay, was, okay, so you can see that every day, sometimes working place, sometimes old family, sometimes fighting among siblings, all right, and so on and so on. Now, know whose battle it is, because the real battle belongs to the Lord. You know, Ephesians, Paul said this in chapter 6, verse 12, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers and against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Remember I said in the Old Testament, as you read, a lot of those are physical battles. But in the New Testament, a lot of spiritual battles. Now let me unpack for you. Okay, ask question like, when you are angry with someone, why? Why are you angry with this person? Okay, when you couldn't forgive someone, why? Why couldn't you forgive this person? All right, or when you are over worried, okay, why? Because there are spiritual forces behind all those. So when you understand that, hey, I must know who God is. I know who am I fighting for, and this battle belongs to who? Okay, when you know that, friends, this is the time that you must choose to worship God. You choose to give thanks. You choose to lift up hands. You choose to worship God with songs and let songs birth out from your spirit, right? When you do that, friends, let me tell you, it will change the atmosphere, okay, where you are or where you at, all right? Remember stories like Joshua? Remember how he bring down, okay, the walls of Jericho? Who did he send out? He sent out the priest, my friend. You can read that in Joshua chapter 6. He sent out the priest with trumpets, okay, with the Ark of the Covenant. That means the presence of God. Okay, they just march round the walls of Jericho. What they do at the end, they just shout. They just declare the words, okay, declare and worship God. And the walls, okay, came tumbling down. Wow, what they do in battle, they worship God. How many of you remember the story of Daniel? You know, when King Darius was being deceived to give an order, all right, that everybody shall bow down to the king. And what Daniel do, you know, he went back, opened the window, and he prayed and give thanks and worship God. What happened next? Was he delivered? Yes, he was delivered. He was delivered to the lion's den, all right? He has to go through the battle, do you know? All of us will go through battle. All right, but with that, are we able to worship God? And Daniel said this in verse 22, chapter 6. He said this to the king. My God sent his angels and shut the lion's mouth, and they have not harmed me. Wow, you can read the stories. Okay, how King Darius, okay, was so glad. And then he declared, okay, who the God is. Friends, as I close, do you want a victorious life? If you want a victorious life, then you need to face the battle, go through the battle, and knowing that the battle is the Lord and the victory is yours. Again, as you reflect, okay, what I've talked today, in every battle, who do you focus? Who do you focus? 2G. One is the giant, one is God. Who do you focus in every battle? If you focus, okay, if you focus the giant, you will stumble. But if you focus God, the giant will stumble. All right? So in every battle, when you understand that, you know who God is, who are you fighting for, and the battle belongs to the Lord, okay, the victory, okay, is yours. So how do you see victory? Many of us want victory. I was saying that we want victory, but we don't want the battle, right? Okay, now, how many of us realize that Jesus has won the victory? So in other words, when you look at victory, you can have a new perspective, right? Instead of like going, okay, march toward victory. Yes, maybe because you probably have not experienced a victory, so you march toward Jesus, okay, to experience the victory. But after that, okay, Jesus is on the cross, he has the victory. Now, after that, you walk from victory. What does that mean? Now, when you walk away from there, that means now every day you are walking in victory so that you bring that victory news, okay, to everyone else walking in victory. The battle is the Lord, but the victory is ours. All right, so you continue to read chapter 17, verse 48 onwards, and you see the victory, okay, that David won. All right, now, so as I close, I want you all to reflect this story. Who are you in this story of David and Goliath? Probably three main characters. Are you the Goliath? I hope it's not, huh? All right, now, are you David in the story? Many of you say, yeah, I'm the David, I want the victory. But there's a third character in the story, that is the Israelites. So are you the Goliath? Are you the David? Or are you the Israelites? You know, when we look at the bigger picture of these, friends, you are now the Goliath. Goliath is the enemy or the devil, okay, that caused problem to whatever you're going through. You are neither David, my friend. David is a type of Jesus. Who fights a battle? Jesus. Who fights that battle? David. So David is the one who has a sling, okay, who knocks down, all right, Goliath. God is fighting for us. Jesus is the one who takes the victory, and that is none other David. Who are we? We are the Israelites who stand far away afraid and waiting for someone, okay, to fight that battle. And Jesus came, okay, to fight the battle for you. So in times of battle, my friend, what will you do? In times of battle, despite what is going through inside you, despite of what's going around you or through you, choose to worship Jesus. All right? Do the possible, leave the impossible to God. Whatever you're going through, whether it's your job, whether it's your health, whether it's your finances, whether it's relationship, in that moment, what you can do, you do, and then leave the impossible to God, knowing that, know who is God, who are you fighting for, and the battle belongs to the Lord. Amen? All right, now, we're going to take some time, all right, to have a holy communion. Okay, which means, okay, at this moment, I would say that you have the cup and the bread in your hands. You know, as we have the cup and bread in our hands, you know, I want you all to ponder, okay, which is, God is always in control, all right? How many of us will know what will happen tomorrow? Maybe, yes, no, but whatever it is, all right, keep going. Keep walking in victory. Okay, know that who God is. Know that who are you fighting for. And know that the battle belongs to God. Because when you know that, it will surely lead you, okay, to worship, okay, the Lord, no matter what the situation. Can I get a good amen?